Welcome, beautiful mama, to the Happy Mama Movement. Does perfectionism rule your life? This is something that so many of us struggle with in this day and age and time. This idea that we need to be getting it right all of the time. We think we need to be awesome in all areas of our life, and when we're not, we crack, we break, we beat ourselves up, we feel like we fail. Some of us have these little snippets of perfection come into our lives, but they're manageable. But some of us, this rules us. But perfectionism can be your greatest teacher. Perfectionism can be a sign of exactly what you need to learn and where you need to go. And perfectionism can be reformed. This interview is with Mama Lisa Abramson. Mama of almost two, when we did this interview, she was pregnant with her second. Creator of Wise Mama, maternal health advocate, author, coach, an amazingly brave and authentic woman. Her story of what she's been through is profound. She has been broken by the perfectionism she put on herself and has learnt so much about surrender, about accepting where you are right now and what you are capable of, and realizing that everything is actually already perfect. Can't wait to share it with you. This is the Happy Mama Movement with your host, Amy Taylor Cabaz, author, mama to three, and editor of the Happy Mama magazine. In my mamahood journey, I have gone from an overachieving, addicted to busyness superwoman to finally slowing down, simplifying, and realizing that being a mama is the greatest self-development teacher in the world. And after more than 15 years covering breaking news, I've swapped current affairs to inspiration and now bring you the best I can find every week to help us feel more connected as women as we raise our families. Because when we come together, amazing things happen. So welcome to the movement.
About 3.5 years ago, I became a mom when my precious daughter Lucy was born. I was thrilled to get pregnant. My husband and I had been married for a few years and we were eager to start a family, and we were fortunate enough to get pregnant right away. And so we were very excited, and I had a pretty non-eventful pregnancy, and you know, we were preparing for the birth of Lucy, and you know, she came a few days early, and again, not anything too out of the ordinary with, you know, as kind of standard delivery in a hospital, and she was in good health when she was born, and things were okay right at the beginning. We were thrilled to, you know, and shell shocked to be new parents, and we went home. And for me, my transition to motherhood was, I had quite, thankfully, a rare experience, but it was also very severe in that within about a month of giving birth to my daughter, Lucy, I found myself in a psychiatric ward. I was there for 10 days, involuntarily held and locked in there because I had become so unwell. I went from kind of normal baby blues and mood swings and kind of some normal adjustment and trouble coping with being a new mom and the lack of sleep, the hormones, and just the stress of trying to, you know, I had some trouble breastfeeding. And then my daughter Lucy was losing weight, and it felt like the world was ending. And I had instantly, as soon as I had become a mom, I had failed at everything I was supposed to be doing because she was losing weight and she wasn't growing. And And I was having trouble breastfeeding. So those kind of things ended up being quite traumatic and hard for me. And then on top of that, I was quite anxious and not able to sleep at night. And that really turned into mild confusion that then became very, very real and immense confusion and kind of paranoia that terrified me so much. I ended up, you know, thinking I was being rational and telling my husband and my mom who were there by my side, you know, should I go kill myself? Will that make this all go away? Like, will it make it better? And I thought I was asking them a very sane and logical question because I really wanted to know, like, can I escape this frightening state of mind that I found myself in? You know, I'd never had any previous mental illness or kind of trouble coping. I'd say I was on the opposite side of being quite, you know, put together, organized, someone who would say, oh, you know, she's pretty even keeled. She seems to be always optimistic, looking at the sunny side of things. And I was not that person at all. And it terrified me. So I had quite a rocky experience, but I do feel thankful in a strange way that because my experience was so severe and my family recognized immediately I was not acting like myself and I was not doing well, that I got the help that I needed. Even though it was severe to be hospitalized, I ended up with the right care and we spent 10 days there and then was in an outpatient program and then continued to do therapy and take medication for about 6 or 9 months until I was stabilized and, you know, doing a lot better, hired a nanny, hired a night nurse so that I could sleep and rest and focus on my recovery. So because it was so severe, I did get a lot of help and I think I got the right help and I was fortunate to be able to kind of bounce back from that quite intense mm-hmm. experience.
So looking back now, what do you think happened? Do you have any insights? Do you understand? How do you feel about all of that now?
Yeah, you know, I think for me being, you know, I would identify myself as sort of an overachiever, maybe a bit of a perfectionist and definitely someone on the type A part of the spectrum. And I feel like for me, it was really hard at first. I wanted to know, why did this happen to me? Like, how did I make it happen? Like, why was it my, you know, was it my fault? What did I do wrong? And that was honestly a really challenging part of the recovery was getting over that and letting go and just saying, you know what, sometimes there's things bigger than us. And I think in the case of, you know, mental illness, especially in the case of a temporary and treatable condition like postpartum psychosis, sometimes there's just, you know, it's a bad draw of the cards and mm-hmm. the combination of the hormones, the stress of being a new mom and then not sleeping just proved to be a really toxic combination for me. So I actually feel like I was able to start to recover and sort of find meaning in helping other new moms feel like they're not alone if they're suffering, and especially helping them feel like, you know what, if you're having a difficult time transitioning into motherhood and you find yourself facing a maternal mental health disorder, it's not your fault and you absolutely didn't do anything wrong. There's nothing you could have done differently to prevent it. Sometimes we just react differently to the situations at hand and kind of surrendering to that and realizing, as much as I love to be in control, we are often not in control. In fact, I might even say now we're never really mm-hmm. in control of what's, you know, learning to let go, learning to surrender. I learned that lesson over and over again, especially as a new mom. And it doesn't get any easier, but the more that we can allow that sometimes there's things larger than us at play, sometimes those are beautiful, positive forces. And sometimes there are things that challenge us, but letting go of that can be really helpful.
And that's why I really wanted to speak to you, because not only do you have an amazing insight and wisdom to share around those mental health challenges that some mamas have, but at some level, every single woman out there, as she enters motherhood, even the second and the third time, each time, it brings a journey of surrendering, of realizing there's nothing that you have done wrong or nothing you could have changed. This is just part of the journey, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's so true. And that's sort of the shift you make as you become a mom. You realize, you might have been used to achieving things, accomplishing goals, being focused, and feeling like you are on track moving towards a set and finite goal. Motherhood requires a totally different mindset. There's no gold stars. You don't really get it, especially in the first few months, you don't even get any positive feedback. You don't even get a smile of like the baby telling you you're doing anything right. So it's basically, it's just no matter what your experience is, it is a huge mindset shift, especially if you identify as, kind of a professional woman, or you've had a career and you feel like you have a strong identity there of being self-sufficient and accomplished. And then you shift into motherhood and it's hard to not feel like this new journey requires a totally different set of skills that are really the opposite of what you've been thriving in.
Exactly. And I have to say, my oldest is 9.5, and the things that she's throwing at me now, it is just as hard as in those first few months when she doesn't give you when they don't give you a smile or there's no feedback. As they enter the tween years, which is I'm starting to look at, it's yet another challenge of trying to really see this as not something personal, as a long-term growth that you're going through together. And everything that I've had to learn when she was a baby, I am still having to relearn now that she's going into 10. I have children aged from 3 up to 9, and each of them, my goodness, those lessons never stop. There are days I wish they would, but they don't. So let's talk about what you now share. Let's talk about if a mum is listening and she has come to this time in her life with certain expectations of who she is, her achievements, her idea of success, her busyness, all of those things that we as modern women are so used to defining ourselves. How do we start to be okay with this time in our life, with being a mama, and make sure that we don't feel like we're losing ourselves?
Yeah, absolutely. And, I think it, just like you said, with the, lessons that you're learning as you're approaching the teenage years, it's a process, and being self-compassionate helps so much in that process of knowing you're not going to get it right the first time, and that you're never really done, unfortunately, mm-hmm. as you mentioned with this work. So it's a process, but I think, there's a few, practical things you can do to make that adjustment a little bit easier. And that's to, first and foremost, kind of throw away any rose colored lenses or kind of mile high expectations about what you think motherhood should be or how you think your kids should behave. I have a friend who calls that shoulding all over ourselves, and it's dangerous if you find yourself with a lot of expectations. So trying to let some of those go of the way things should be, and practicing mindfulness of just what's going on right now here in the moment. I also think, saying no is really important. Saying no to the things that don't align with your values and aren't nurturing your well-being, and getting more and more protective over your time there. And then also allowing others to support you and knowing that that makes you stronger. Getting support is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength and self-assurance that you feel comfortable enough to allow others to help you. And the quicker you can learn that lesson, the happier you can be, because you're not on this island trying to pretend like, oh, it looks great, it's easy, I'm figuring it out on my own. The more, in the way that you're speaking and to your, the Happy Mama audience is just like talking about the real truth of this is a journey. None of us are perfect. We don't get it right, but we're learning to accept ourselves, the way we are, and accept our children the way that they're behaving, because that's really where we can find those moments of peace and also a lot of joy.
Mm. You're pregnant with your second child now, going into it a second time around.
Yeah.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. It's been a journey. It was a journey to get pregnant with number two. It was a little more challenging than the first time around. And of course, building that resilience within me to feel comfortable to even try, try again took a few years. So, my daughter is going to be 3 and a half when, our baby girl is born. So I definitely needed some space and time to heal and feel like I was ready. But each pregnancy, like they say, is different. So each has its, challenges and ups and downs. And as I mentioned, that lesson of kind of surrendering to there's things you can control and there's things you can't control. And I'm trying to practice what I teach about, self-compassion and tapping into your intuition and, whether it's a little sign, after I had some tough news at our 20-week ultrasound, the next day, I find that when I see butterflies, it's a good omen for me, which this has always been. And I saw, two dancing by and a hummingbird almost ran at me into my head, which I also love birds. So I said, I'm taking that as a good sign because right now I need a little glimmer of hope and a positive sign. So it's kind of allowing yourself to do what nurtures you.
Mm. I really want to ask Lisa, I want to ask you about whether you trust yourself now. What I mean by that is because in my Reconnect program, I talk a lot about having this innate sense of trust in yourself that no matter what, you'll get through it. And, I talk about looking back at the really tough times, perhaps it was during motherhood or pregnancy or birth, or perhaps it was a different time in your life completely, and how in the moment you might have thought this was too big, but in fact you moved through it somehow, and to almost gather that as evidence for yourself, to really start believing that no matter what will come, I'm going to be okay. And I really wanted to hear your thoughts on that, because surely that's what you've had to find in yourself, having been through what you've been through and now having another pregnancy and stepping back into that arena again almost. Do you trust yourself?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's strange to say that there are some gifts that come from those kind of crap experiences that we don't like, but there is truth. And I did find within me that I'm so much stronger and more resilient than I ever imagined. And I do trust myself. And I can't say that, if I'm finding myself in another, experience with postpartum psychosis, that in the moment I'll be able to connect to that. But I'm sure if I do face, the exact same challenges, I feel like I'll be able to recover more quickly, because I will be able to remember, everything pretty much, blew up in my world, and I still was able to rebuild and end up stronger and more resilient. I mean, it was one of these, it's almost comedic. It's so ridiculous. Here I was teaching people at companies like Google and LinkedIn and Salesforce about mental well-being, you know, teaching them about mindfulness. And then I have a baby and I find myself so unwell. So I thought, not only am I the world's worst mother because they've, you know, taken my daughter from me and locked me in a mental institution, but above and beyond, like, who's ever going to hire me as a coach or as an inspirational speaker? Because clearly I'm not well. Like, this is, you know, a pretty key indicator that I've screwed up royally. So I thought, you know, pretty much overnight, my professional ambitions were out the door and I'd screwed up motherhood. And I thought also my husband, you know, how could he love someone that was just such a mess? I was always the telltale of someone who was put together, and I know he respected and loved that. And seeing that, you know, my family never stopped believing in me, never stopped loving me. My husband never doubted for a minute that I would recover. I mean, it was touching, and I feel fortunate to have gotten through that. And I know that I do think about that when I go through smaller challenges. Like, I've been through much worse, and that's comforting, even though it's strange to say it.
Mm. And how did you make peace with that? How are you at peace with the fact that, you know, you did have that platform of speaking about mindfulness and mental health? And can you see that now as a strength?
Yeah, I mean, I think it makes, well, one, it made me a lot more compassionate about the fact that that having this experience made me realize that, you know, mental illness is something a lot of people, you know, struggle with, and it's nothing they've done wrong. It's not their fault. And it kind of broke my heart open to see the struggles that I hadn't really seen around me, just with anyone with mental illness, especially with moms. And I think, for me, making peace with it was just owning the story and saying, this happened, and it doesn't make me any more or any less. It's, you know, and the companies were still hiring me. It was like, whether or not they knew about my past, it still was my past. It was still my lived experience. So, and it was really freeing for me. I think the full kind of circle on recovery came with doing a TEDx talk about my story and really sharing my experience and saying, you know, I'm an open book, because if this can help at least one mom, it's worth it. So, I almost like threw up when I first, you know, like, got up there and was like trying to tell my story. It was definitely like a moment where I was shaking to the core, but I've seen, and you've gotten emails from moms saying, thank you for your story. We were able to get, you know, our family member the right treatment because we heard your talk. I mean, that makes it all worth it.
So just to get a really practical insight from you then, if we are going into a time in our life, or maybe we are at the moment, struggling to find that balance between being busy and thinking we need to have it all perfect and having that real connection to that self-identity, what one thing can we start doing as women and as mamas to drop that perfectionism and pressure on ourselves at the moment?
Yeah, that's a great question. I feel like there's, for me, I think my meditation practice has been incredibly helpful, even if it's just, you know, 5 minutes a day to quiet your mind and kind of recenter yourself. That can help a lot to just let go of the noise. Again, practicing, you know, self-compassion and talking to yourself like you would a friend, you know, whatever you're struggling with. You know, I know when, you know, my daughter is, you know, throwing a tantrum like 2 and 3 year olds do, it can be really hard. You know, it can be really hard. And just acknowledging that, like, and saying to yourself with like a short self-compassion break, it's, you know, this is tough for me. You know, it's tough to hear someone, you know, someone you love upset, and, you know, it can be annoying, but it can also just be sad to see, and all of those emotions together. And then saying like, I'm only human, like anyone, any mom who's like experiencing, you know, the recent tantrum I have was like outside of the American Girl store, because I wouldn't buy my daughter $100 doll. So she decided to like throw herself on the floor and go wild. And I was like, you know, like there's a lot of people staring at me right now. Like, this is tough. And, you know, anyone who had a child like throwing a full on tantrum on the floor would feel this way. And then I just said, you know, like, what would I tell a friend? Like, what I would tell a friend is, you know what? It happens to all of us. Mm-hmm. It's okay.
And it doesn't make you a bad mom. This is exactly. The thing, isn't it? We use that as, it's that evidence thing again. We think that that's evidence that we're doing something wrong. It's not. It's evidence that you have a normal, healthy child who's pushing her boundaries. That's it.
Exactly.
That's the only thing it's doing. But gee, it takes practice and mindfulness and compassion, as you said, to be able to do that in those moments.
Absolutely. So I think that, you know, that can really help. And you know, just I schedule time for, you know, self-care. Like it like it's your oxygen mask. Like it's vital for your well-being that you as a mom have time for yourself, for the things that make you you and make you happy. And, you know, I want everyone to like just throw out this idea of, you know, that a self-sacrificing, you know, mom that's giving, that's, you know, who we should be modeling. It's not. That's a recipe for resentment and depletion and burnout. So you need to find the things that, you know, fill your bucket, and then know that you're worth it, and you need to do that so that you can then be the, you know, mom and, you know, parent and spouse that you want to be. So it takes practice, and it's the little things add up a lot. So whether it's you know, you need to tell your partner like, hey, you know, you go to that birthday party with the children, you know, by yourself. I'm going to just stay at home, you know, like I did last Saturday, and decided I just needed some quiet time to myself, and saying, I deserve this. This is okay. It doesn't make me a bad mom. It makes me, I think, quite the opposite. It makes me really excited when I'm reunited with my daughter, and it makes me have much more to give.
Beautiful. You're listening to the Happy Mama Movement. At the core of it, the Happy Mama Movement is all about one simple idea, that mamahood can be the greatest catalyst for change in a busy woman's life. So now for the big three questions. First of all, what has mamahood taught you about yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's taught me that to surrender, that I'm not ever really in control, and that's okay. So I've sort of let go of a lot of things, but it's a process.
It is such a process, isn't it?
I'm like, as I'm saying that, I'm like, there's so many things I'm not letting go of. So it's a process. I'm working on it.
I'm so glad to hear that.
But I'll do an honest assessment that I'm doing medium at that.
That's right. I'm letting go at letting go.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's hard. So I think that's too, you know, it's just being real with other moms and being the first to like speak up and say, hey, I'm having a tough time. Like, be that person in your friend group. Be that brave soul that says, hey, this is tough for me, because I swear the hands will raise, the mouths will open, it'll say, me too, me too.
I agree. It happens every time. And even though you can feel very vulnerable sharing that truth, it's so, so important that we have those conversations.
Yeah.
So if you could go back and tell yourself one thing before you became a mama, what would that be, Lisa?
It's all going to work out. It's all going to work out. Yeah, absolutely.
That just gave me goosebumps. That is such a simple thing to say, but I can imagine if you had known that in those moments, wow. I mean, yes, if we can all just accept that, it's all going to be okay. It's all going to work out.
Yeah.
Mm, really beautiful. And so then finally, what does being a happy mama mean to you?
I think that that means being, you know, for me, it means being happy as Lisa and joyful as a mom. It's kind of nurturing both, you know, myself and my needs, and then finding, you know, joy in the little moments of my day and joy in motherhood. That's where I really feel like it all comes together.
It's the balance between both, isn't it? Thank you so much. I'm so pleased that stories and women like you are able to talk so openly about this. I know that there will be women who connect with this, and all of us can start to be a bit more honest about our struggles and realize that we don't have to have it perfectly sorted and on top of everything every day. I so appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Happy Mama Movement. To make sure you never miss an insight, please subscribe to this podcast and also pop on over to see the latest issue of the Happy Mama magazine at www.happymama.com.au.